In this podcast by Sysla Energy and Ocean Industries, you get to meet Ando Hideyuki. He is the Senior General Manager of the Technological Institute of Japanese shipping giant NYK Lines. Hideyuki came all the way from Tokyo to Haugesund in Norway to present NYK's work on big data for the audience of Haugesund-konferansen. I, Sysla journalist Gerhard Flåten, was lucky enough to get an interview with him afterwards, which you will now hear. We hope you enjoy it. Today we have a very interesting guest, Ando Hideyuki. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Could you please tell a little bit about who you are?
I am working in research and development department of NYK Line, which is the company name is MTI. NYK is operating about 800 vessels, many vessels.
We have to stop a bit there. Nearly 800 vessels.
Nearly 800 vessels.
You have 260 bulk vessels, that's the
segment? Yes, let's say about, I think 300 something bulk carriers. And then 100, less a little bit less than 100 container ships and 100 car carriers. And tankers.
So you are gigantic.
Well, it's a variety of vessels. It's a, I think it's a typical, I mean, Japanese shipping companies' cases, such a variety of ship types the companies are operating. It is the same as in the case of NYK.
And you are represented within pretty much every segment of shipping.
Myself is actually, I'm in charge of technical development. So each business section has operating in each ship types, but then there are technical headquarters in NYK, and actually my company MTI is under the technical headquarters. And we are doing research and development for each business section and sometimes for technical headquarters.
So does this mean that you are sort of in charge of running the technological innovation of NYK?
Yeah, you can say so, yes.
So, for instance, one department comes with an order for you and say, like, we need this improved, and then you try to figure out what to do.
Yeah, something like that. And most of research and development is run by NYK Research and Development Budget, which not directly belong to each business segment. So we call that each business segment stakeholder.
Exactly.
And some case stakeholder approached us to ask some specific topic to research on. And another case, if we have new technology, and then we approach to business section, and then we ask why not to test this technology possibility in their business field. Both cases are happening. Yeah, our company is, I mean, the research and development, MTI, established 11 years ago. In the beginning, most of the project, let's say, we are working on project basis. We are basically approached by ourselves, like a more technology-oriented projects are the majority. But nowadays, gradually, the number of business section driven, business-oriented project, number of the business-oriented projects are increasing.
So that means that...
more demands, yeah.
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 And could you tell a little bit about your focus on big data?
Okay. We started the big data, let's say big data. NYK, we have a NYK big data project, which started year 2014's April, and I was assigned a leader of that project, and myself and also one captain and one chief engineer and two IT guys, and then seafarer, I mean engineer. So anyhow, a good group of seafarers and myself and the IT guys make some core team. And then that team started to drive several projects with a business section. Actually, that time, Capesize Barca business section raised their hand, and then they are the key stakeholder. And then we are working closely with that Capesize Barca business section.
What did they want? What was the order?
Well, that time the main AI target is energy efficiency, and then to how we can minimize operational cost, especially in fuel oil cost. That are the main target. And then, so we installed the data collection box on board, and also at the same time, we do some data analytics of their operations and so on. And
can I stop you there? So that means that you actually install a unit on board the ship that collects data from the various sensors on the ship.
That is right. You may know. Already actually on board, actually there's a normally regarding navigational data, we have a data collection box called a voyage data recorder, and in the engine power plant side, we have another data collection box called integrated automation system or engine data logger or something like that. But those are actually that integrated automation system is the main purpose is to maintain and operate the power plant and the propulsive plant of a ship, so which is used by engineers on board. But then, of course, we can take out data from that system. So what we have done so far is not directly taking data from sensor itself, but rather we are hooking up to existing data collection box on board, and then collecting data by our data logger, and then send the data to shore.
And what do you do with it once it comes to shore?
Well, it's there are of course many steps. Firstly, if you think in navigational side, there are, let's say, like 50 or less than 100, but 50 data there. And the engine side, at least like 300 or 400 data there.
Different variables that you measure?
Different variables, like in the engine case, navigational side, like vessel speed and speed through water and speed over ground and wind speed and the wind direction and like heading and the course, and those are the navigational side. And engine side, of course, like engine itself has multiple cylinders, so some temperature of the cylinder and the pressure, and like a cooling water's temperatures, and as a like a steam lines pressure and the temperatures, and there are many. There are main engine and auxiliary machineries and so on. So, and then there are the pipings are there, and there are a lot of instruments. So those instruments are actually gathered into integrated automation system. So a variety of data there. Yeah.
And this is then collected by the unit you install on board and sent to shore for analysis.
Right. The uniqueness of the ship is that the network between ship to shore is, we have to basically rely on satellite communication.
That's pretty slow, isn't it?
Pretty slow, and even if you use a VSAT, we can expect a continuous network, but still it's let's say like at most like one megabps or something like that. And if we not install the, we are not using the Visa, then we have to rely on like Inmarsat FB and such an measure network, and then. Then we expect lower speed, and also some cases the airtime tariff is like the cost is paper the amount of the data size or something like that. So then in that case, actually, we cannot send a lot of data. We have to minimize the data to minimize the communication cost or something like that. But so anyhow, there's the bottleneck is there, the narrow band network between ship and shore, and sometimes non-continuous network and so on. So
how do you solve that?
Well, actually, in NYK case, actually, we realized that the continuous network is very important, and also the fixed tariff contract is very important. So actually, in year 2012, we started NYK Satcom project, which is actually by utilizing data and then we enhance the ship shore communication. Then actually, we can somehow manage the fleet operation better. Then it will result in energy efficiency. Then which means like we can cut the cost of fuel. So which means like if we can install a little bit expensive communication platform, then we can in the end reduce fuel. So why not to invest this communication platform? That is actually the logic we try to persuade our management, but together with Seafarers Group. Of course, for Seafarers, it is very good because crews, they can enjoy the internet and the emails and even the Facebooks and so on. So and nowadays, young Seafarers cannot live without such a network. I forgot which country, but the one Eastern European engineer, one time when I visited the vessel, he said to me, no internet, no girlfriend, or something like that. So for crews, definitely it's a part of their life to have a network. But so it's anyhow, this is not the reason, but to explain to pass the management. But anyhow, again, utilization network will improve our way of the operations.
But you solve this by installing more expensive and efficient units on your vessels?
Yes.
Yeah.
So actually, and then we started to install the VSAT and also Inmarsat FB, but that was a continuous and a fixed tariff contract things. So actually, that time we make a the document we are calling the NYK Satcom. It's manual, or I forgot the name, but anyhow, it's kind of like a Bible for us, like how the internal network should be, how it should be set up, like because it is unique network. Because we, one hand, we have to use that network for business, but another side, we have to use that for the private use. So the both different perspective, at the same time, has to be managed properly. So we have to, of course, segregate two different networks. And we because of this, the network is already continuous, so we have to have some firewall. And of course, we have to like block some WOOP files, and also like block some illegal access or something like that.
Yeah, so. I wanted to ask about that. How do you know that your data does not disappear or end up in the wrong hands between?
Actually, I am not sure. But well, anyhow, what we define was the policy. Anyhow, we have to segregate to a different network, and then we have to set firewall. That kind of rules we define. And of course, once the data is collected on board, currently we are sending the data by using actually email protocol. So actually, as similar as a normal email, actually, if the email that did not reach the opponent, then you will realize your mail is not reached to the opponent. So it's the same case for the data. If we cannot transfer the data properly, then actually we know.
Mm.
So it's the same as email. Yeah.
So this is then you made a substantial investment in order to be able to ensure the safe travel of the data from the vessel to shore.
Yeah, that is right. Safe and consistent and or near real time or something like that.
Mm.
Otherwise, like in the conventional way, the captain called the shore via satellite, like and to send the email. It's like a modem communication. So it happens like 3 times a day or something like that. So at the worst case, shore operation people receive the email like half day later or 1 day later after the captain write that mail or something like that. So then in some cases it is too late to suggest something from the shore. So
the people of your department, you have how many employees? 60 something was it?
Yes, my department, research and development, consists of about 60 people. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you monitor real time the data that comes in, or do you use it for
analysis? No. Currently, we are asking that data collection to external company because initially we developed together with some another company, but then the number of the data collection equipment increased. Of course, we cannot handle them all, so we try to find a good partner who have a global network and who can do commissioning and who can do maintenance and so on. So we selected actually Furuno Electric. They are the navigational equipment manufacturer, and they are usually selling like sonar or radar or ECDs or satellite communication and so on. So we selected Furuno as a partner, and then now the Furuno company is the supporting the installation and providing the equipment and also the maintain the equipment and so on. So actually,
does this mean that you route the data to them and they do the analysis of it?
Not really. Actually, the competence of the Furuno is firstly they know very well about satellite communication, and they know very well about the ship itself, and then they have a global network. So actually, their job is kind of like gathering the data on board and transferring to the data to shore. But they do not have a knowledge about shipping business and so on.
I see.
So they cannot do data analysis, basically. So their main role is transferring data, collecting data and transferring data. And then we receive the data, then we utilize the data for some cases like visualizing on the web page, and some cases we utilizing for data analytics for some business demand or something like that.
Hmm.
So basically our organization is more and more focusing on data analysis and also at the same time some system development to up to the user's request.
Can you tell a little bit about what discoveries you've made analyzing this data?
There are, of course, a variety of things, but for us, most important finding is that we did not know well about ship performance. Which means, like, yes, we have in historically we have done vessel performance analysis based on the reported data and so on, but that data analysis is mainly for checking that how much the ship hull and the propellers are degrading, by the marine creatures that stick to like ship's hull and then gradually
you have to take it into.
So we have to clean up the hull and something like that. So we are checking how much gradually the ship's performance is getting worse. Mm. That is the main purpose of the vessel performance analysis so far. But in reality, not only by such marine creatures, but also by, of course, like waves and winds and such environmental conditions, weather conditions, are affecting a lot about the ship's performance. We knew it, but actually we knew that that portion is not small. That is something big one. But actually, we could not precisely say how much it was.
Mm.
So actually, by gathering the data and so on, and by analyzing the data, we gradually understand there are so big diversity in performance caused by weather. And then we try to find how we can estimate well about such a performance. Otherwise, actually, we cannot precisely say the vessel performance in services. So we gradually try to analyze and break down analysis. What reason caused this fuel consumption or speed drop? That the most from technical, especially from technical point of view, we spend a lot of resources to make good analysis tools.
But what is this effect? Is it whether you're trying to get from one port to another, and you know you have these weather conditions, so then you know that you have to expect this delay, or that you will get there this much faster, or is it in terms of more, if you have certain weather conditions, then it would make sense to increase the efficiency of the engines or decrease it to get the optimal fuel consumption. I don't know.
Yeah, you are right. For daily operations, something like that, and normally we call that is like it's a part of weather routing. Weather routing originally means avoid severe weather, something like that. But nowadays. Weather routing company, weather service providers are aiming optimum weather routing, which means not only avoiding severe weather, but also balancing economy, which means like what is the optimum speed, or what is the optimum speed distribution in under the weather estimated weather conditions or something like that. So by given like ETA estimated arrival time and given our weather forecast, and how vessel should operate on which route, then there's some issue that best route selection and the best speed distribution, that is some optimization issue there. That is one thing. But that is daily thing. And then if we think about the vessel operation, then after the next port, we have another voyage. So actually, if you think about like a next 1 month, 2 months scale, then actually another optimization there. Should we speed up now or should we speed up later in the next voyage? That is also another case, the issue of the decision making to optimize the business in terms of optimization of the business. So actually, captain has to achieve the estimated arrival time of next port, but the shore operation people think about how to move that their fleet to match the requirement, match the business requirement, and so on. That is another scale of the operational optimization. And of course, and then that is not daily one, but it's like a monthly issue, monthly optimization or something like that. And then, if you think about a little longer, then what are the actually optimum fleet composition and so on? So which vessel we should charter in, or which vessel we should charter out, or something like that. Then actually the fleet design, a fleet composition optimization, the another issues. So that is also affected by weather and also each vessel's characteristics and performance. So then also at the same time, if it's up to ship type, but like a liner business and so on, then yearly basis or like every 2 years, they will update the service routes, the service design and so on. Then what are the optimum, the service design? That is another optimization issue there. So actually, we have to think about the fleet, and we have to think about the demand and the amount of cargoes and so on. Then we have to think about another optimization. So actually, the every time for the optimizing in a different scale, every time the vessel performance in weather, the key knowledge. If we don't understand properly, our optimization go wrong somewhere wrong.
Mm.
So that is the main issues that we can utilize data or analysis technology to optimize the fleet operation.
Have you been able to measure the improvement after you implemented this?
Well, actually, the business section, for instance, like NYKK's, the container business section started first, this sort of optimization. And then also, at the same time, they set some sort of like KPI. So actually, already it was like 5 years ago or something like that. But based on the KPI, they can say how much they could improve. And also, what are the target of this season or this month or this year? And then comparing to the last year, and say the same months, and how much could be improved. Actually, right now, they can say that by using that KPI. So in that sense, actually not myself, but the company, the business section can say the number.
Mm.
Yeah.
But do you see an overall improvement? I'm thinking you can. It's nice that you can gather data, and it's nice that you have the skills to analyze it, but it doesn't really help you until you...
I think so. Already, actually, what we can do is providing such kind of technology and ideas, but then the users themselves and the operation business section has to drive by with their good motivations, otherwise it doesn't work. And actually, thankfully, they believe those technology assist their energy efficiency operation and operate optimization. So I think they already believe in the numbers, and also they have a good belief in utilizing that data and the technology. So they are quite confident in that sense.
Mm. What other areas than fuel optimization and?
We installed that. The data collection box, and we have extended that energy efficiency as a ship types. And now, actually, we are gathering the data, not only the navigational, but also the all engine-related data, and not only the numbers, sensor numbers, but also at the same time, a lot of alarms, for instance, symbolic data also. So actually nowadays we try to utilize those data to prevent some trouble of engine or power plants and the propulsion plants. So more and more safety side we are now focusing on. So to reduce unexpected downtime or something like that. We try to minimize. We are NYK is operating 800 vessels, so every year. We have some category of the categorization of the incidents, but we have some number of not small number of incidents every year. So we try to reduce that incidents by utilizing those technology, and also we have another KPI delay of arrival time. So if something's wrong, the vessel will be arrived late. That is also what we try to minimize, that number also. So those, the number of incidents and the arrival delay are the two KPIs we are trying to reduce.
Mm.
And actually, it is not, of course, easy to reduce it's kind of a preventive maintenance thing type of things. So it is a little bit ambiguous that what is the role and what are the responsibilities of onboard crews and the chief engineers, but what are the roles of the shoreside chief engineers or somebody who are checking the...
Yeah, because you could, for instance, say to the chief on board that this part is going to give in within the next month.
So if there is no belief or no less reliability by using technology, if we lose our reliability or belief, then that is very bad. So actually, we are asking chief engineers, seafarers themselves, to think about how we can utilize these new technologies, and then how we can communicate, how we share the information, and for good, not for bad.
Mm.
So it's then definitely we need a good relation between headquarter and the ship management company and the superintendent in ship management company, and also on board, definitely on board crews. And then so they are trying to they are doing a lot of communication between each other, and how they, and then so some doing some trials, and so we are very much step by step introduce this technology into the actual field, but we are doing very carefully doing that without losing any trust or without losing any confidence or such an expertise anyhow, which is very much proven and traditional and good cultures are there, but we try to somehow integrate new technology into that. But that is not my job. I think it's, I should better ask them to do that by themselves, otherwise it doesn't work well.
No, you are no small organization. You have in total
right,
almost 50,000 employees, isn't there?
How to count, but as a group there are more than 30,000 people there. But anyhow, yes, at least like for instance in NYK case, we have the main ship management company in Singapore, so and they are operating probably 150 vessels or something like that. And also, NYK themselves has a university. I mean, it's not a university. It's a college in Philippines to educate seafarers and so on. So actually, that's actually all the technical part are managed by the seafarers group. So such a technical development and so on. Actually, we are relying on that organization. I mean, seafarers organization. So we have quite a good cooperation, and we are rather relying on them to how they think. Not only the organizational aspect, but like a data analytics part. We are asking chief engineer to think about how to see the data, how to maintain the data, like even the data quality issue. I mean, sometimes data is not coming to shore or something like that. But anyhow, all those technical and organizational aspects are driven now by the seafarers themselves. So that is, I think, then now gradually they are believing, and also they are gradually utilizing technology, and already there are some cases that they found some things wrong in the data, and then they ask a chief engineer on board, and then they check the valve, and then they found some irregular condition and they fix it before big trouble happens or something like that. That already happens.
Mm.
And also, so I think now it's that the cycle is running positively. So I feel now it's a little bit accelerating, that kind of integrating into the way of working is now started. But definitely it is not by us, but by them themselves.
What do you see lying ahead of us when it comes to the utilization of big data in shipping?
I think there are several aspects. But firstly, the safety aspect. More and more, like a ship management company and the seafarers, shoreside seafarers are leading to utilize the data by themselves. That is one issue. And the coming issue is that NYK chief engineers can do, can see the broad plant, the plant data or power plant data broadly. But like a detailed data, like some malfunction of equipment or something like that, sometimes we should rely on equipment manufacturer or designer themselves, because they know best about their equipment. So actually we try to, so to prevent some troubles of equipment of machineries, we need probably a cooperation with equipment manufacturer and machinery manufacturer themselves. So now we are gradually preparing some platform to share our ship's data with such an original manufacturers. So that are the challenges. And then we expect that then with the cooperation of them, we may achieve further improvement in preventive maintenance and reduce troubles or something like that.
And this is not something that would only benefit you, it would...
Yeah, if, of course, for our industry, I think then we can have a better reputation and so on. And also, manufacturers are, nowadays, they suddenly got a call from angry superintendent of management company. Hey, your machinery is broken, but the actual condition is not sure. And then actually, they try to find out what the right situation to get a right situation awareness, but then they cannot, the crew cannot deliver the right information to the manufacturer. That kind of information exchange, I mean, not very good information exchange happening. But so then sometimes the service engineer suddenly fly to the vessel, but finally they may find out that is not the case of malfunction, but probably some misoperation or something like that. That even that kind of things happen. But once data is properly handled to a service engineer or manufacturer, properly they can do better cure or better advice or something like that. Of course, some cases they have to bring something, but send something, but they can send the proper spare parts to the vessel with that information. So that will be also beneficial to supplier themselves.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned when we started the bottleneck in this process being the transferring of the data. But apart from that, do you see the collection of data as the bottleneck or the ability to analyze it and do... do you have all the sensor information, and is the sensor information reliable enough?
Mm. Of course, like data quality issues are there, and sensor reliability data are there. But I think the most bottleneck is there was almost no way the manufacturer equipment supplier accessed the data on board. So that is why, firstly, we try to establish a platform of data collection and the data share with a proper entity. So the number one bottleneck is missing the platform.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have a cooperation with other ship owners when it comes to this, or is it bilateral between you and?
No, not bilateral. It has to. We are thinking that it has to be like a industry wide platform, because it is not. If it is only the case for only the NYK vessel, probably the number of vessels are limited, and the equipment manufacturers, if they can access only NYK vessel data, that is not very much beneficial. They would like to access whatever, whoever's owners vessels data, of course, if their equipment are installed. So actually, we are promoting this platform as industry. So it's kind of like an ecosystem for this. We are saying that this is the ecosystem of platform of this industry, so why not to make together? But of course, once data is reached to shore, and then to analyze the data and utilize data, that has to be competitive part, because we would like to differentiate our shipping company. We would like to differentiate
What I'm thinking. You might have a conflict there, because it's beneficial for you to share, but you need to maintain your competitive advantage.
That is right. So anyhow, but the data gathering and the data transferring part, I think we think that that should be common platform.
Mm.
but the utilization data, then of course it has to be very much severe competition. So we are day by day developing a way of data analysis and utilizing the data, and the business section and the seafarers group, we are cooperating with them, and they try to utilize data by their own, for their own purposes and so on. So, but anyhow, that are the data utilization parts. So data collection parts, actually, I don't think we should compete in that one, because it's just a, not, it's not just, but anyhow, collect data, then transfer data, and store data, and share the data with the right person. So that, that parts are actually not the competitive part of shipping companies.
Hmm. I suppose you also pay attention to what the other shipping companies are doing. Is this something that you see developing in other companies as well?
Well, as far as in Japan, actually, we are running a smart ship application platform project under Japan Ship Machinery and Equipment Association. And then actually 35 companies, manufacturers, and with 8 observers. But 8 observers consists of all major Japanese shipping companies. And so actually, which means like as far as our country nation goes, we are cooperating in that aspect. And actually, well, it is currently, it's a, like a joint industry project in Japan. But of course, if... Why not, in Europe or in other nations, if any ship ownership shipping companies can share the same vision, then we'd like to invite them to close, cooperate together.
So you are seeking partners?
Yeah, seeking partners, yes.
What's your dream, to put it that way? What's sort of the coolest thing that you could achieve within what you're doing now?
If that platform is achieved, and then that each like a manufacturer, a conventional traditional manufacturer or shipyards or new service providers enjoy the platform, then they make new services and they improve like energy efficiency or safety or whatever. And then if this industry is regarded, oh, that industry is doing something good, and even that a nice cooperation, collaboration, and industry-wide platform, blah, blah, blah. And then if it looks nice from like a younger generation point of view, and then if our industry looks nice, and then a new, another talented people are coming to this industry, then that'll be very good.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I think so.
What about on the more the technical level?
Yeah, technical level. The difficult part is that I think like a preventive maintenance and so on. Actually, like if you see another industry like wind turbine, airplane, and automobile, and like especially like wind turbine industries are doing very good in terms of predictive maintenance.
And that means knowing when you will have to do maintenance on a specific part of it.
They already have the common term. Remaining of useful life, RAR. And then, so I think nowadays all new wind turbines are already equipped with accelerometer inside. There are like inside windmill, actually, there are a lot of bearings. Actually, the bearings are most probable component, erroneous component. But by using that accelerometer, and then they do a frequent analysis, and then once they see something's wrong, then actually the data is transferred to manufacturer, and the experts in the manufacturer can see that the result of frequency analysis, and then they estimate, okay, the bore in the bearing one ball is a little bit wrong or something like that. That is actually judged by the expert in the manufacturer.
They're done on a pretty detailed level.
Yes, yes, it's kind of like a doctor level.
Hmm.
So I think comparing to that level of technology, we are very behind. So, there are a lot of things to learn from other industries, I think.
How do you go about to implement a change like that? This will have to begin on the design stage when building new ships.
Yeah, that is right. That's a good point. Actually, in our industry, there is no big, strong shipping companies. I mean, shipbuilding companies. In air industry, Boeing and in Europe...
Airbus.
Airbus. So they are actually controlling all the design and all the design quality and all the maintenance issue and so on. So very much those strong two companies are having a grip on even in operation.
Hmm.
And also like engine manufacturer, Rolls-Royce and GE, and those two or three engine manufacturers are dominating that industry. So they are selling maintenance services and so on. So actually, huge engineering knowledge inside of such an assembler and the engine manufacturer. But in shipping case, shipbuilders are not such strong.
Why do you think, why is that?
Probably everybody can, not everybody, but many, if design is there, many people can, in any countries, probably not very much high tech is necessary to build ship.
Hmm.
Of course, to build the ship very efficiently, we need a lot of computer technology, the robotics and the welding lines and a lot of good labors and so on. But basically, shipbuilding is a labor-oriented business. So more like knowledge-driven businesses, I think, I suppose. So we cannot reach the level that... because it's short. I don't know, but anyhow, this industry is set up somehow. So, but I hope that even like shipyards should follow that other industries, manufacturers does. They are trying to sell services, not the products.
Hmm.
But for selling the services, they have to know well about the operation and so on. Then definitely like a data collection and so that then like travel. Report the travel information collection necessary, but we usually do not meet such a manufacturers, shipyards, who have such a vision to sell services to shipping company, unfortunately. So, which means like then the shipping company themselves has to do something if we would like to do prevent trouble.
Like you have a...
Yeah, so somehow we do. But it is a little bit weird. I think so.
When you compare it to other industries.
Yes, right.
But you have the same, like Rolls-Royce, for instance. It's the same manufacturer who does a large part of the engine.
Right, so, okay, so offshore. And offshore, in at least like offshore businesses, and like what Rolls-Royce does and what the Kongsberg does, probably... It is very much similar to other industries. I agree. So probably what I'm talking is probably Asian shipyards or something like that. But so
more conventional shipping.
More conventional shipping. Yes, yes. But right. Like Norwegian shipyards are like Rustin, so they are very much, I think, advanced design concept and they're doing a lot of advanced design. So this is modern type of modern way of manufacturing. And they're probably like okay. Engine manufacturers, okay, MAN, Rolls-Royce, and then Kongsberg, ABB, like Ulstein, those are new modern manufacturing companies can sell services, maybe, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. But then my question is, then what those Asians Asian manufacturers do, because they are more, much smaller and less added value products they are selling and so on. But actually, us, NYK, is operating such a less added value ships, 800 ships, so then we have to do something again.
Yeah. It's been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Domo arigato.
Domo arigato.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Sysla Energy and Ocean Industries. If you enjoyed it, we appreciate it greatly if you share it with your friends and colleagues. You can also subscribe to our channel to make sure you are always first to get the latest from us. Search for Sysla, that's Sierra Yankee Sierra Lima Alpha, in your client and hit subscribe.